Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
There's nothing to talk about. This guy should be arrested. So that happened just about an hour or so ago.
So, again, last night we talked about it, man. You know, athletes in Minneapolis. Again, we had this conversation the other day. It was kind of dovetailing off of Michael Jordan, one of the episodes
from
The Last Dance, about, you know, athletes and a reluctance for some to be involved. And I think, you know, you do have to, whether you agree or not, and there's nothing to disagree with in this situation, but the fact that you've got athletes, high-profile athletes in Minnesota and around the country getting involved and making strong statements, not shying away from it.
All right, guys, plenty to get to. Alex Mack speaking to the media, talking about what the Falcons are trying to do this offseason. I hope their offense gets better. We'll get into that coming up. And also, as we mentioned, the NBA, I don't know if they're lagging behind. We'll ask Steve Kuhn that, Mike, because it feels like, I don't know, for me, I don't know, what about you? As this week has kind of gone along, and it's been a short week, but doesn't it seem like some leagues are ahead of others?
Like the Gobert thing happened, and, you know, we've talked about it. We're not trying to downplay the virus, but, I mean, for many Americans, it is not, matter of fact, 90, you pick the percentage. It's not a death sentence. People can get back, and now we're going to see how a guy like Gobert would do, or how a guy like Von Miller in the NFL who had to deal with it. But, I mean, yeah, there was that. That was like that, oh, crap moment, you know, when Gobert comes down with it, where literally the record skips for everybody, and the SEC pulls up stakes, and the tournament's done in Nashville. NBA had to shut it down. So I just think whether or not, again, do players just not feel safe? Because as we know, in some cases, African-American athletes with immune system, whatever it is, some guys might feel more comfortable than others. They did do sort of a straw poll over the phone the last couple of months to take the temperature. Guys want to go. So now but I agree that to me, and I know that Damian Lillard took a lot of heat, but if you're out, you're out. Let's just get right to the playoffs. The NHL got it right. Let's just get on with it.
I'm with you. We were going to hit some headlines. We got into that discussion about Caleb McGarry's tweet, so we wanted to address that, and we have. But I do want to mention, Mike, because we were talking about this, just real quick, Chase Elliott, man. again, Dawsonville, stand up. Chase Elliott wins, and I told you guys, I was watching the documentary last night and did not get a chance to see the actual race. But I do want to mention this because I just asked you and Bo, I think it was yesterday, I said, you know, where's the personality in NASCAR? Where's the next up-and-coming stars as far as, you know, drawing people in? Right now people are watching because coronavirus has us at home and we don't have a whole lot to watch. Can this continue down the road? Months from now, are you going to be invested in NASCAR? So, you know, Chase Elliott wins at Charlotte on Thursday night, and I just want to put that out there because he's a local kid, man.
Yeah, man, I got to figure these guys are sick and tired of turning left turns at Charlotte with nobody in the stadium because it's in the track because it seems like they've been there for a month. They've been doing it at Rockingham and, at Darlington, now over at Charlotte. But, yeah, he gets the win. He had the 600 basically wrapped up. He could have had at least three or four wins, one could argue, at least three. So, yeah, he gets it cooking, and this has been one of the storylines. And we're looking. I know that Bo's talked about it. Check out his NASCAR Splash and Dash Facebook page that he does with Mark Owens, our buddy from Star 94. But you're looking for some storylines, and a great storyline is it takes two to tango. You've got to have two drivers at the front. And Kyle Busch and Chase have been kind of the story in NASCAR so far.
Yeah, that's a great point. I just want to address it. So, Chase, congratulations. And we'll continue to talk more about some of the things that you might have missed. Right now, though, let's get to our NFL Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
You know, I don't necessarily like it sometimes when guys puff their chest out and talk about how great they are. But when DeAndre Hopkins says, y'all know, if I had a quarterback, I'd be the best receiver in the league. I want you to hear him answer this question about who he thinks the best receiver in the league is. Now, remember, Hopkins was with the Texans. Deshaun Watson was his quarterback, but he's been the best quarterback he's played with since he's been there. Right. And now he has been traded to Arizona. He's going to be playing with Kyler Murray. And again, I think that could be a deadly duo. But here's D-Hop talking about Julio and Michael Thomas and himself.
I definitely think I'm the best. I know I'm the best. You know, Mike, my boy, I love Mike. We was chasing yesterday, but he know if I had Drew Brees my whole career, what these numbers would be. Julio Jones know if I had Matt Ryan my whole career. That's my boy. I trained with Julio, too. He know what these numbers would be. So, you know, those guys are definitely blessed to be in a position where their whole career they had a Pro Bowl quarterback that they spent, you know, multiple seasons with. You know, but I don't complain. I don't make excuses. I go out and work. You know, and obviously, you know, my team won the division championship 5 out of 7 years since I was there. And I think every team in the division went out and tried to get a DB every draft to stop what was coming to them every year. But, you know, nothing against those guys. But, you know, I definitely made 3 all-pro first teams also.
To his point, Carl, it's tough. Before, of course, again, there's no way, guys, that is a knock on Deshaun Watson. 2016, you know who's delivering the football to take a wild guess to DeAndre Hopkins?
Who was his quarterback?
Brock Osweiler and Tom Savage.
It's a shame, man, that he was able to do what he did.
I mean, and he couldn't get – he almost had 1,000 yards. He had 954 yards that year. And if you want to take it back, DeAndre Hopkins, 1,500 yards receiving in 2015. Guess who his quarterbacks were in 2015?
Who was there in 15?
Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett, former Falcon T.J. Yates, Brandon Whedon.
Yeah,
that's a who's who. So, I mean, yeah, so, I mean, I feel your pain. Okay, yeah. You want to take it back to 2014.
Oh, who was this guy in 14?
All right, DeAndre Hopkins, 1,200 yards receiving.
Okay.
6 touchdowns, delivering the rock. Get some of that Fitz magic. Case Keenum, Ryan Mallett. So, I mean, that's the man.
What a disaster.
100% on the mark. He has played with Busters at quarterback until Deshaun got there.
All right, man. And I'm not mad at him. He didn't say that like, yo, you know I'm the best. He put it in perspective for you. And it's funny. He's like, I know Mike Thomas, my dude, Julio I work out with, but listen. And here's the thing.
But so, wait, there's more. I just found it. 2013. No disrespect to Falcons.
Okay, who was this guy in 13?
No disrespect to Falcons backup Matt Schaub. This is kind of like the year Roddy in 2007 when Roddy had over 1,000 yards from 3 bums like Byron Leftwich and who am I forgetting, the quarterback from Oregon. Oh, he's horrible. Anyway, Joey Harrington. DeAndre Hopkins, he had 802 yards in 2013. Matt Schaub, 10 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. Case Keenum and T.J. Yates. So, yes, I just gave you 4 years where he's got nothing but bums delivering the rock.
Yeah, it's a valid point. It's our NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. You want to laugh? You want to laugh?
Sure.
Listen to this cut by Joe Flacco, who still thinks he's a starter.
I obviously still believe that I'm a starting quarterback, and you never know what 3 years down the line is going to look like. So I still have that confidence, and I still have the want to do that. But, you know, at this moment, that's not my role. My role is to help the team get better and to help a young quarterback see things as clearly as possible and help him on his journey to be, you know, to being, you know, a long-time NFL quarterback.
It's not going to be your role, Joe. Those days are over, son. It's not going to be your role. That could have been your role in Denver if you could have put it together. Now you're hurt, and you haven't played well in the last 3 years. What makes you think you're going to be a starter in the NFL? I hear you. Your mentality never stops, right? Michael Jordan thinks he can take anybody's steal to this day. Problem is age, man. He's not the same guy, and the injuries. Here's the difference between Joe Flacco and Matt Ryan. Matt has been fortunate enough, Mike, to not be injured and be durable, which has allowed him to continue to play at a high level at his age. Flacco got those championships.
Knockwood.
Yeah, but Flacco got those championships, and all of a sudden now he's broken down. And I can't take anything away from what he did when he was with the Ravens, but Flacco's not a starting quarterback anymore.
look, the dude bet on himself. I think we can all appreciate what he did in the 2012 season. He was the MVP of the Super Bowl, and he had an amazing run with a great team that was fully rounded and had everything. But ever since then, to your point, just can't stay healthy. The dude can't even practice right now. That's what got so many people hot and bothered about why Cam still can't get a job. And here's a guy that's a complete bum. Other than your role is, yes, your baseball hat guy, you'll be the sage advice guy, and Cam would be a legitimate threat to a struggling young quarterback who's supposed to be the franchise guy. I mean, that's the argument. But, yeah, you'll be 38 in 3 years, Joe. Come on. Father time. Undefeated.
I agree. Matt Nagy is the coach of the Bears, guys. Here's his comments on Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky.
We've been really honest with both of them. The simple fact of the matter is that we want to have the best possible team we can have in Chicago with the Bears. And so right now we're presented with a great healthy competition between two quarterbacks that are going to battle their tails off. Now, they understand that. And the thing with Mitch is that he is very competitive. He is 19-10, like you mentioned, and he's 2-1 almost ratio in wins to losses, but he also knows he can grow in a lot of different ways. And so the time is right now for that to happen. He's excited for it. He can't wait for the challenge. And then Nick coming into the same situation, he's had an interesting journey as well. He's been at the top of the mountain and he's also been at the very bottom. And so, but they're both really good people. And when you're in this situation, when you have two good human beings that are doing it for the best of the team, it will work out because we as coaches are very honest and open. And now it's going to push both of them, and it's going to make our team better.
Blah, 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 blah. You haven't got a quarterback, pal. You got two, you ain't got one. Get out of here.
Yeah,
nonsense.
And here's the deal. That was a very cheery conversation there. I love how it got back to they're both great people. Can they play? I mean, that's the deal. Nick Foles just got paid. And again, you win a Super Bowl, and I'm not mad at Nick. Nick went down to Jacksonville. That was a bust, though. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, Mike, if you hadn't won the job, if you're Mitchell Trubisky, you were, what, third overall? You were the third pick?
Yes.
And you haven't won the job yet? You're done. You're not winning that job.
We talked about it. Deshaun is a perennial, he's an MVP candidate. Patrick Mahomes is and already won a Super Bowl, and you're a buster. Didn't get your fifth-year option picked up, and now you got Nick Foles, a guy who really does excel in coming off the off the bench as the lefty from the bullpen.
I feel like we're just banging on everybody.
Guess what?
Buster quarterbacks.
Is a bum. Well, guess what? That's why when you get a franchise quarterback, you got to pay him a lot of money and hold on to him, because we just told you there's so many teams can't find the guy. They totally miss with Trubisky. I'm still not sold on the Jets with Darnold. You got, Josh Rosen, another buster who's out. They'll be on with three teams, and he's at the same age as Joe Burrow. So that's how hard it is. Now, can Foles be the guy? He's had a star-crossed career. I mean, he can get streaky. Foles can put it together. So we'll see. Either way, Matt – and by the way, Matt, a good guy, smart guy.
Yeah.
But he's hitched his wagon to Trubisky and realized it's going off a cliff.
I agree. We said this. When we play the Bears this year, do you think by the time we play the Bears, Foles is the quarterback?
Yeah, I said it last week. I say again, yes, I say Foles is going to be the guy. Unless Trubisky, with that blank expression, can look inside himself and find something, you know? And because look, this is your career on the line. You're in a tough spot. Chicago is a tough town to lose in, especially when you had guys behind you that are so much better than you with a quarterback.
Yeah, one of our guys on Twitter says, Foles is a baller, y'all. Well, listen, I think, again, this gets back to coaching. Doug Peterson put him in a position to be successful. What happened in Jacksonville if he's such a baller? Oh, wait, he was injured. Okay, I hear you. Okay, yeah. We'll see. I don't know, man. Foles as a backup, yes. Mike said this for years. Foles as your guy, he hasn't proven that, Mike.
Hey, like I said, he can. You know what? Hostetler is Foles. Remember, Hostetler comes off the bench
Jeff
for the
Hostetler.
Giants, and you know it was like Earl Morrill the year that Greasy got injured, that Greasy came back. Hostetler won some games. Of course, the Giants had only like five Hall of Famers on that defense. But the point being, you got a guy who can be streaky. So let's see if Foles at some point this year. The Bears, have so much talent on the defensive side. It's hard to imagine they can't put it together.
All right, let's hear from Mike McCarthy. He's the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Everyone's wondering about Dak. Will he be ready to go? Is he distracted by these contract negotiations? Again, he hasn't signed his tender, and yet he hasn't come to an agreement with the Cowboys. He wants 4 years. They want five, yada, yada, yada. Here's McCarthy.
He's involved in a business situation, and I have full confidence that he'll be ready to go. You know, this is the way these business situations go sometimes, and you respect that and have all the confidence that it'll work out.
We play the Cowboys this year at Jerry World, by the way. couple of times. Last couple of times we've seen the Cowboys, they haven't been impressive. Remember, we beat Dak up one year. Then I want to say it wasn't last year, Mike. Maybe it was two seasons ago that they came in here. Yeah, and we gave them the ball back. Remember, and they went down the field and ended up winning the game late.
And Claiborne had the game. The Claiborne had the game with the backup tackle in there, where he just, you know, beat up on him. But we've had it. You know, I think everybody's had success because Cowboys been just slightly over 500 the last couple of years, save for that one season they got beat by the Packers. So yeah, I mean, you just don't know what you're going to get. McCarthy, maybe McCarthy comes in, and we've kind of joked around that he underachieved in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. Maybe he just can get things cooking that Garrett couldn't. Alden Smith, by the way, speaking of the Cowboys, in an interview with the Dallas paper, Carl says he lost his way. Didn't know what his purpose was. Feels like he's back on track. So Alden Smith, again, that's a part of a big pass rush the Cowboys will be throwing at us when we play him.
Interesting. Hey, man, when we come back, the news is out about what Todd Monken is going to get as the new offensive coordinator with the Dawgs. You might be shocked. It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Friday. Hashtag Dukes and Bell. Tailgate at home 2020. Use that hashtag if you're sending us some stuff, if you're putting something on the grill today. Hope you're going to have a great weekend, man. One of the guys we're talking a lot about this offseason is obviously Dirk Koetter. That's our offensive coordinator for the Falcons. But another guy that we know what he's done in the past, but we really don't know what this thing's going to look like at Georgia because we didn't have spring ball. We didn't get a chance to look at Newman at quarterback. And that is offensive coach Todd Monken, Mike, who is now the terms of his deal have come out. It's a 3-year contract that's going to pay the new OC at least $3.7 million through June 2023. Now, exactly. So when I saw this, you got to think now. Go back to the Bobo years. Go back to what you've seen over the last few years with Kirby Smart. They didn't even want to pay Chaney this kind of money, and Chaney left and went to Tennessee.
Right.
But Todd Monken comes in, guys, as an experienced guy. Obviously, you know, we talked about his coaching pedigree, but Mike, $3.7 million now for an offensive coordinator who's coming in and expected to change things offensively to get Georgia explosive.
Yes, a guy that's going to have to do it with Jamie Newman, who we think can fit. We're going to find out. We didn't get to watch, obviously, spring football and G-Day game and all that other stuff. But, man, 3.75 over 3 years, that's the kind of loot that keeps Venables and Clemson. We've talked about how Clemson's got an amazing staff. Ohio State staff is paid big bucks. Alabama's, before they leave and take other jobs, is very well paid. So it's all the resources. And, again, we'll do what Carl and I like to do, which Georgia fans, some get upset. All the pressure is on Kirby. He's got everything that Mark Richt never had. He's doing it himself, of course, on the recruiting trail. He's getting, you know, all these guys, and the guys they just hauled in the last week. It's pretty impressive, including a 5-star from USC at quarterback. But Carl got all the resources. Mark Richt was threatening to come out of pocket to get his assistants paid back in the day.
Yeah, I'm looking at all this. This is interesting, Mike, because remember now, back in February, this is going back before the pandemic. It was announced that Todd Monken would make $1.1 million. And then this 24-page agreement Monken signed has all of the other details in there. And that's how this thing escalated, because you start looking at this and it goes to $150 increase in supplement pay each year. Then you get another additional additional $390,000 for gross salary. And you're going, what do all these things mean? I have no idea. These are coaches' contracts, but this is how it escalates upwards to $3.7 million through June 2023. So anyways, I do think for Todd Monken, again, he comes in. I can't wait to see what this Dawg offense is going to look like. I do think LSU showed everybody after all those years of being stuck in the mud and saying they can't find a quarterback. They can, you know, they got all these weapons and they can never use them to show what offenses can do if you get the right play caller in there. And you know, again, Joe Burrow was a dude last year. I don't know what he's going to be as a pro, but if Newman can be half that, then right. Georgia's going to be way more explosive than what they were last year. And remember, they still have weapons. You know, they still got Zeus. You got Pickens coming back. It's not like the cupboard is bare. You should have the offensive weapons to put up 35 or more a game, in my opinion, Mike.
So with all the pieces coming in, again, it averages out, as Carl said, to a 1.25 per year. And again, I know that there'll be people out there saying, wow, you know, with all the other things that Georgia's going to have to trim the fat. Look, we've already explained it. Football is how the Bills get paid, okay? So that's why you pay the coach the big money, and that's why we're trying to get fans in the seats safely, and that's why we got to have football on TV, because you're seeing universities hemorrhaging money. You see now how much they carry. And again, a lot of that, you know, money they carry is paying these coaches just because it's an endless cycle. But I'm with you, bro. Kirby's got to get it done, and I think this year, because you've got a lot of pieces in place on defense, I know that fans are going to say, again, it's a great mystery. What is a Monken offense going to look like with all the weapons you just laid out at wide receiver and running back? We don't know what Jamie Newman is unless you watch a lot of Wake Forest. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think they're in a great position. I think because of all the resources and all the things we've talked about, they should be in as good a spot as any if Kirby's done the job he should to handle this. This pressure, that's why there should be no asterisk for this season, because you're dealing with extenuating circumstances that nobody has had to. So to me, that cancels out anybody who wants to say, oh, no, this or that. Come on, get out of here.
No, I totally agree. And if I said 3.75 a season, that is incorrect. It's through June 2023, as Mike said. Right. It averages the 1.2 mil per season, which does not include the bowl bonuses, the car, the other allowances.
All the stuff.
Yeah, so
the trimmings.
Well, and by the way, those trimmings are nice. I mean, I got to be honest, man. A lot of these assistant coaches, these big time OCs and DCs, their deals they're as good as some of those guys you just mentioned. They're as good as the head coaches. I mean, Mike, some of these guys have a house allowance. They're not even paying it for anything. So
hey, what's that line? Was it from the the astronaut movie is going to drive me crazy now. But anyway, it's Gus Grissom when they were talking about the right stuff. Gus Grissom when they were the Astrodome and they introduced all the Mercury astronauts, and he's like, steak's about the same, but the trimmings are a whole lot better. Yeah, the trimmings are a whole lot better when you can be an assistant at one of the SEC football factories or in the ACC at Clemson and get that clout, and you never have to be a head coach again.
Yeah, no doubt. More dog conversation coming up at 4, as we normally do. We'll tell you more about Georgia Tech and when they are set to reopen for their voluntary workouts as well. Hey, as we've been talking about all of our sports, and we talk about the major four, right? NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, NFL. The NFL is ready to move to the next phase of reopening. We talked about this, that Thursday memo that was sent out from Roger Goodell, talking about the next phase, clubs opening, you know, ticket offices, retail shops, and other customer-facing facilities, as long as their operation complies with the local state and regulations, state and local regulations. So the Falcons are among those teams. We're also hearing now, as we look around, you know, the landscape, that the return date for the NBA, Mike, is going to be July 31st. Now, nobody is saying that. We haven't heard that from teams. But that's the reports out there from some very credible NBA folks who are saying.
Sham Sharania just had it saying that NBA Commissioner Adam Silver in the league office informed the Board of Governors, to which he obviously got the leak, that the 31st is the target date. So this is a great question. A couple of guys have already hit us up on the Salmon Brothers Diamond text line, Carl, saying, who gets back to work first, Major League Baseball or the NBA?
NBA.
I say hoops. I say it's going to be hoops, man, first.
Yeah, right now I think it's the NBA. So, again, we'll talk to Steve Koonin more about this coming up, because if he can confirm this report, then we got a date. And that's something – a part of this uncertainty with what's been going on is we've been saying this. We don't have firm dates. We have – college football, we have the schedule. We don't know if that's the date they're going to start on. We don't know the date for sure if the NFL is going to start on. We don't know baseball. MLS, we don't know the date. So to get a date kind of makes me feel good to know, okay, hey, NBA is going to resume on this date, because that's something we haven't gotten a lot of, Mike, over the last, I don't know, 10, 12 weeks.
Right. So you got, we talked about German soccer's already back. English soccer's got a date. Italian soccer's got a date. You talked about NHL is going to go right to the playoffs, which makes sense. NBA may or may not. According to that straw poll you talked about that ESPN did, they felt that 16 NBA general managers are prepared to go right to the playoffs. So we'll have to wait and see on it. But baseball, the optics will continue to be awful for baseball if they're screwing around and every other sport's getting out there. And baseball's already had spring training and this and that. And they still are monkeying around over money.
Yeah, but you know, here's the thing. It's not like they're going to, we said this, it's not like guys are going to walk out of their house and go to the ballpark. They still have to incorporate probably 3 more weeks of some kind of spring training into the timetable. Right. So that's why this whole July 4th thing is starting to look to me like a fairy tale, Mike, because if you were going to do that, you needed to get started by no later than the second week of June to have guys ready and up and playing by July 4th. And I think that right now, that schedule and that deadline, I don't think that's realistic.
No, but again, baseball, we always joke around, will the cooler heads prevail? When you talked about our conversation with Dave O'Brien yesterday, it just looks so bad when it's all out there in public view. The owners play this card, the players then respond, and now, again, and will we get to, like the Cowboys, same thing we've talked about with Zeke. You know, it seems like they're miles apart, they always find a way. You just don't have that feeling with baseball they're going to get this one fixed.
Yeah, the part that bothers me, it's Dukes and Bell, guys. It's a Friday here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're coming live from our mobile Kia studios, brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Coming up, we'll tell you what we're grilling out today, and we'll grab Mike Conte and Bo Morgan as part of Yeah Man, No Man. The thing that bothers me, though, is how people, the players always get the bad rap. And the owners, in my opinion, in this particular situation, are just being greedy. I said that earlier in the week. And to not understand, and I'm not asking people to, part of this is you have to understand these franchises, they don't devalue.
Right.
They increase in value. And that's part of what Dave was talking about yesterday. It's why they won't open their books, Mike, because they're not going to show you truly how much money they're making. You know, that's why Liberty Media, let's be honest, can cover a lot of this up because of their other business ventures. They don't have to say everything that's going on with the Braves. They tell us every now and then. But think about this. We've heard more about what the mixed-use facility over there at the ballpark is making and the rental cost
right.
than we have about the value of our team. And part of that is because Liberty Media, for what they bought the Braves for, and if they sold it today, would make triple. And they know that.
Right.
So that's the part that bothers me is the greed of the owners trying to make the players out to be like, oh, well, you don't want to accept that? Come on.
Well, plus the owners, the way we said they've kind of – I'm not saying they were – okay, I'll say they were colluding, the way that they weren't throwing money around for some free agents. And then last year, spending went up. This offseason, we all said, wow, look at all the money the Braves put in. Everybody started spending. I mean, it was across the board. It was great to see the Braves do it. And again, Carl, let's be honest. And there's guys out there that know that work in accounting – corporate America can screw those numbers seven ways to Sunday. You don't even know what side is up. Okay, yeah. you can turn any liability into an asset. So when you talk about, as you said, oh well, you know the debt we're carrying. Fans, first off, fans think you're full of crap, and if they don't, they should. And again, it's one thing if you're some incompetent owner who got the team from your dad. It's another if you're a $10 billion multinational like Liberty Media. You know, so I want a salary cap to get everybody to start spending, so you have a floor that gets raised, so everybody's more competitive. But this is not the way to do it. The way these owners are trying to, you know, force it down their throats. And I think, you know, a guy like Scherzer, that's about the coolest head that I've heard on the baseball player side. You know, the way he broke it down.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Hey, open the books. Open up the books. You want to cry poverty? Prove it.
It was certainly on point. 404-741-0929. What do you guys think as we talk about just the landscape of where we're at? NBA seems to be making some headway. Well, again, we'll find out more from Steve Koonin coming up. He's going to join us at 5:40 today on the program, the Hawks CEO. So we'll get some more info from him. Yeah, Man, No Man, 3:40, which is next. And we'll tell you what we've got working on the grill. Hashtag Dukes and Bell Tailgate at Home 2020. Brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks.
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
All right, we got major problems here in the Bell household. Becky is ready to get to the pool, and I've been told that we were going to be discussing the grilling at 4:40. So, honey, I'm just telling what it just happened. I don't even have the guy talk ready. She's yelling at me right now. We got trouble in the kitchen. I'm doing it if you've been following it. You get an hour outside. It's gray anyway. What do you want from me?
Is it great out there? Sun's out over here.
Yeah, Craig gets in my ear. By the way, we're doing guy talk right now. Well, that's awesome because I've got no stories. I found a couple. She's yelling at me. You want to talk to Carl? You want to talk to Carl about this?
Yes. Tell Becky it's my fault. It's my fault. I said we were going to talk to the guys about what we were cooking, so I know Becky probably got excited about Becky Burgers.
Right.
But she's going to have to pause. Put that on pause for about 45 minutes.
Right. You got an hour of sun. Go downstairs. Come back in an hour. Oh, boy. Thanks a lot. Nice job, Squid Billy. This thing's running like a Swiss watch. Anyway, it is Dukes and Bell with some guy talk brought to you by our buddies. And again, thanks to Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks, of course, with two locations that are open in Buckhead and Kennesaw, and is good for both takeout and for dine-in, following all the protocols by the states to keep you safe. And they've got ice cold Heyman, I know, at Kennesaw. Double check it in the Buckhead store. But we appreciate you guys supporting the Dukes and Bell Tailgate at Home 2020. We will get an update on what everyone else is cooking coming up right here on the show. All right, you and I talked about about it last night if you weren't watching the news, because the coverage out of Minneapolis was pretty bananas. But the Netflix series on Jeffrey Epstein is unbelievable. And if you hadn't seen it, a lot of people reacting, a lot of buzz. Filthy Rich. Again, a lot of stories from the survivors. If you're not familiar, this is the billionaire Wall Street hedge fund manager who had an island of his own in the U.S. Virgin Islands, a residence where things first went south in Palm Beach. And a lot of the documentary, and Carl and I talked about it earlier, focuses on the victims. And how about this? You literally had like junior high school, middle school kids pimping out other kids to go to this guy's house. It's so creepy.
Yeah, and probably, I guess it was the second episode where I start to realize a lot of these girls had similar backgrounds, similar circumstances.
Right.
And the thing is, I know it's easy for us to sit in our 30s or 40s or even early 50s and say, oh, why would a young lady want to do that? Because he was paying them, and right, they didn't have any other outs. And a lot of the girls, some of them did not even do anything with him, but the fact that they were able to get some of their friends to come and hang out, it became this massive web of girls, these young girls, man. And it was that part of it's heartbreaking, Mike, because you see as they tell some of their stories how it's affected their lives. Yeah, I don't care who you are. You're 13, 14, even 15, and you're dealing in situations like this. It's not normal. And
you're not emotionally equipped.
You.
And nope. That's, you know, people always look at this and go, how could these kids not get out of it? And again, there's a psychology behind it. You've seen it before in other people that have been victimized by maniacs like this. But what made it so crazy, and again, I know this is a lighthearted segment, but it has become one of the must-sees now on Netflix. A lot of people, there is buzz about it. Four-parter. And of course, a lot of people are saying this guy had so many powerful connections and so many powerful people, including U.S. presidents, were on his island. So a lot of people are saying that he did not die by suicide, that someone actually choked him out in a very poorly run federal prison in New York City. Either way, I was sucked in. I watched all four episodes last night.
Yeah, I have one more. I've watched up to three so far, but yeah, it is fascinating. And I guess the part that I'm disappointed in, we learned a little bit about how he was a con man early in his life and, you know, worked his way. Listen, if somebody's going to leave you $4 billion or $2 billion or whatever it is of their estate, and you're able to maneuver $40 million or $50 million and not go to jail for it, it is what it is. All these guys that had some kind of influence in his life are all now saying they wish they would have done things differently because they didn't know this aspect of Jeffrey. But I just think he's a mystery dude. I mean, he's one of these guys, I said, even in this documentary, Mike, I'm saying to myself, okay, I know a little bit more about him, but even in like the deposition where you see him speaking, he's not saying a whole lot, you know?
Oh, and by the way, if you hadn't seen this, because the guy, if you'd follow the story before this documentary came out, I mean, the guy is just, he's a sociopath, he's a narcissist, he's a creep. But it is kind of fun when some of the civil lawsuits, they have, you know, the cameras are rolling when the depositions are being taken. It's great to watch these lawyers get under his skin and watch this creep take, like, not just the Fifth, but the Sixth, the 14th Amendment, and invoke them. And he's just, what a dirtbag. But as you said, Carl, you don't really get what the psychology of what this guy was doing. You just really get more from the victim side. All right, not much lighter stuff. NFL, I asked you this a few weeks back after the draft. I'll ask again. What do you think the number one and number two top-selling jerseys are right now from the National Football League?
Well, Joe Burrow, right? Number one overall pick?
No, Tua Tagovailoa. He's got the number one and the number two. Guess what they are? The home and the away Dolphins number
You're
one
kidding
jersey.
Kidding me.
How about them apples? Bama fans loving it. I presume it's a lot of Bama fans because Lord knows there ain't that many Dolphin fans in South Florida. But, I mean, well, not now. They're going to come back, hopefully, if the Dolphins get relevant again. But, yeah, man, the Tank for Tua campaign really did pay off for the Dolphins. And now it is the number one selling piece of merchandise. And it's kind of funny. The mask thing, if you've noticed, the folks over at Lids, they've been selling NFL masks. And, of course, Fanatics, they repurposed a bunch of their gear during the COVID-19 crisis. So you could wear obviously your favorite team gear with the appropriate colors. What do you think the number one team mask is that's selling right now?
Oh, with the COVID. Number one team mask, Raiders?
Dallas Cowboys.
Okay. Okay.
It's still a heritage team, and I guess the star centered is a proper look. People like the way it looks, Carl, the symmetry of it, I presume, if you got to wear a mask out.
Yeah, I was thinking black and you know, the black and silver Raiders, a traditional right. team. I was thinking Packers or Raiders. That makes sense. Cowboys. Yeah,
Raiders.
What, does it have a star
five.
On it? Does it have a star
yep.
on it?
It's got
okay.
the star. Packers are big. Patriots are still big. Yuck. But now, and the Buccaneers are moving up the charts. Tom Brady's jersey, by the way, is also in the top five as far as jersey sales with Tampa Bay. Hey, man, we talked about it earlier in the show, and again, it is sort of beyond the water cooler what happened in Minneapolis. There is something that did come out of it last night, as we know that the officer has been charged with murder. Carl talked about this earlier. But when the riot went down, the collateral damage in it was a sports bar, locally owned in Minneapolis. And there's a video that went viral, some photos of the man just crying his eyes out as his dream bar has just been destroyed. Well, Score Sports Bar was set for the grand opening, and it hit right, obviously, of course, COVID-19. So it just kind of, his plan's been hanging on by a thread, and then the bar gets looted, vandalized, and destroyed 2 days ago. There is some good news, though, for the black-owned business. I just put the link up at Mike Bell ATL. There is a GoFundMe page, and they have raised over $226,000 for this man's business.
Yeah,
I mean, I know it's he's going through it, but I think it's there. You're seeing some people that are coming together. I mean, we're looking for something we can hang our hat on. At least there's people trying to help somebody in that community, and I think it's something we can all do. I went down for $10 for what it's worth, so you can go. The link is up at Mike Bell ATL.
And that is great. I mean, you know, certainly people want to do the right thing. I've always said this. I think more people want to do the right thing than not. But I'm just looking at my timeline, and Trevor Lawrence, good for Trevor Lawrence. This he just tweeted this 10 seconds ago. I'm siding with my brothers that deal and continuously deal with things I've never experienced. The injustice is clear, and so is the hate. It can no longer be explained away. If you're still explaining it, check your heart and ask why. Trevor Lawrence goes on to say, there has to be a shift in the way of thinking. Rational must outweigh irrational. Justice must outweigh injustice, and love must outweigh hate. If you put yourself in someone else's shoes and you don't like how it feels, that's when you know things need to change. So,
how about that from a kid who's, what, 20, 21 now?
Trevor Lawrence, strong.
Yeah.
So he just put that out there. And again, you know, this is... This is their time, Mike. And I say that, you know, I was having this conversation with my daughter. A lot of the people who have spoken up and carried this battle on their backs are old. They're tired.
Right.
They're tired. And, you know, it's time for the next generation to pick this battle up and start talking about it and having conversations and moving it forward so that we can hopefully eventually get past some of this stuff. So I commend guys like Trevor Lawrence, you know. I'm not a fan of a lot of the people that I've seen speak out, entertainers and other, but it needs to be spoken about. And that's the point that has to be put, you know, you got to set this other stuff aside. Well, I don't like this person. Yeah, but they have a voice, and they need to speak about it so others can have this conversation.
Right, and as we said, I know you always have that people to push back. I don't want sports intruding. Now, look, this is reality. This is life, and our country is in a blank show right now. So, I mean, a young man who's only 20 years of age, I just looked it up. He'll be 21 in
October. Guess what? And he's going to be, God willing, I'm knocking on wood, he'll be the number one or two pick next year in the NFL draft. Too.
Right, but how about that? We were just talking about, you know, again, it's not a knock on Jordan. He did his own thing, but if we talk about guys having an opinion, having a thought. I mean, that first off, it's thought out. It's smart. And he's coming from the heart. And I don't think there's, unless you've got a hole in your heart, there's nothing you could not like what the young man said.
No, I mean, I love the way he phrased what he said in a way that, you know, if you're still explaining it, search your heart, because right. there is no explaining that. There is none. I don't care who you are.
Well, hey guys, like I said, if you're just tuning in, Carl talked about it. We started the show about how we don't, when the real life intrudes on our world of sports, and we respond to it, we're not going to shy away from it. That's why we've been talking about it throughout the day. But we always appreciate your feedback. You can follow us at 404-741-0929. Can't read all of them, but Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. A lot of guys liking the dialogue, Carl. And again, it's like we said, when you see something like this go down, what happened in Minneapolis, and then I got to be honest, the other night when I was reading some of the comments in the Minneapolis newspaper. And I'm like, I'm literally like, I can't believe what I'm reading. So let's hope the love will overpower the hate, because, man, we could. And I hate to sound like a hippie, but I mean, my God, you know, that's what I said earlier. I'm at a loss for words, because sometimes you just feel lost where we are in 2020 in the USA.
Yeah. All right, man. Becky, go get a tan. Come on back.
Yeah. So in addition to a pandemic racial strife, my wife is ticked off at me that I'm cutting her into her pool time. We got a lot of issues we're dealing with here today.
Hey, we'll talk some dogs and some more college football when we come back. Also, what will social distancing look like in NFL stadiums? We'll explore that next hour. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.